Hi, this is Ken. Just a short note to say that this is a re-release of an episode that was released in the last week or two. I unfortunately sent down the wrong episode, and apologies to Charles and NJ for doing that. And this is the corrected episode. If you could delete the other version and please listen to this version, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is Charles in New Jersey, and I'm back with part one of a two-part episode called The End Days of Christmas, Introduction to Recreational Math. Part one is titled Counting Partridges and Gold Rings. This, as I said before, was the first series on HPR that talks math, and today we're going to do it with some attitude. Part zero, if you stayed with me long enough, we discussed calendar counting, where we learned to count from the opening cocktail party of a convention, not from the keynote, to know which day of the month was on each date of the conference, and for locating the beginning and end of a date range that starts on a given day that's not the first of a month. I think we're going to be stepping on the pedal just a bit. Part one, today, this is sort of an advanced episode, where we're going to start to count other things. And since we're counting increasing sequences, we're going to need more than fingers. There's going to be a couple of magical formulas at the end that I am going to pull out of my ear and invoke as though I could just assert that they're true. Since we've been using them for hundreds of years, I guess we can assume that. And for this one, I actually created a spreadsheet version that gives you the brute force table-driven calculation, so that if you want to skip the elegant formulas, you can just download the spreadsheet or build your own from the instructions here and just do the calculation by brute force. And that's probably close enough if you really care about getting to these kinds of answers. I think the principle of the thing is the main part, but if you want to take a look at what it looks like in a spreadsheet, you can have a spreadsheet because it's fun to play with. Okay, this series was inspired once again by a traditional Christmas song that is somewhat annoyingly repetitive, but it does introduce some mathematically interesting concepts, at least for recreational math. I will spare you the experience of having me sing it. That would be painful on, oh, many levels. So let's step up to the problem. Now, in true mathematical fashion, I'm going to avoid taking on the problem head on or even stating it. But what we're going to do is look at this song that refers to the 12 days of Christmas, and on each day there's one gift on day one, two gifts on day two. It's an increasing sequence. We're going to sum that, and if you'll remember, the part of the song that makes it really annoying, unless you're actually singing, it's like the garlic of music. It's okay if you're singing it, but it's not okay for everybody else who happens to be in the area. So the 12 days of Christmas is the garlic of music. But I digressed here. Because there's this countdown at each day, I also extended the problem of just counting the gifts, which would otherwise be just 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 and so on, to what if the true love who's giving these gifts was also wealthy and heard this song that gives the rundown for each day and wants to keep up with whoever's doing this giving. So they give the partridge and the pear tree on the first day, then they give another partridge and the two turtle doves on the second day because of the countdown. And then they give the three French hens and the other three birds, so they're giving a gift here, three gifts there, six gifts there, and so on. So it adds up really quickly. Well, we're going to find some ways to, first we'll organize our attack on how to do these kind of problems by doing it in the spreadsheet. But then we're going to pull some algebra magic that you should have learned in high school if you've been paying attention. and I just apply it. Because we're not in school, we're on HPR, I can just pull these formulas out of a book, look them up, and we can use them. So that's sort of an advantage. Now I'm going to start with a simpler problem, you know, sort of like the Fedora people. They want to assume, they have a cow that won't milk, they want to assume a spherical cow like a physicist would. Well, we're going to build up the problem in four steps. Step zero is I get a gift on Christmas Day and that's it. Well, my cumulative count on Christmas Day, day one, is one. Since I didn't get anything on the 26th, my count on the 26th is one. The 27th, it's still one, and so on. So that's step zero. Pretty easy to count. I'll give you the answer, one. Now step one is I get a gift a day so that my increments are 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, I get gift each day, but my cumulative count is now 1, 1 plus 1, 1 plus 1 plus 1. These are the counting numbers, the numbers that we were using implicitly when we were doing this finger math of counting things on our hands and fingers, and that we use all the time when we were in base 10, except we're doing it with symbols and algorithms that they taught us in school, or with computers, instead of fingers and hands and physical things. Okay, so step two would be the idea that was supposed to be in the song of having one gift on the first day, two on the second, three on the third, four on the fourth, and so on up to 12 on the 12th. And then step four is the final thing based on the misinterpretation. Just for fun, instead of having just the one gift and then the two and the three, we'll have one, then one plus two, then one plus two plus three, one plus two plus three plus four, and so on. And we'll sum that series based on the cumulative values. So each time we're sort of stepping up a level in the way these gifts mount up, and boy do they mount up. The first place where the formulas start getting, or the arithmetic starts getting hairy, is with the case that's in the song, where we're giving one gift here, two gifts there, and then three gifts on day three, and so on. Notice, just for fun, that stage zero, where I had just the one gift, if I now open a spreadsheet, which I'm tempted to do because the numbers are getting big, I could start with four columns and handle this whole thing. Actually, give me five, because I want to number the rows of my spreadsheet from zero to about 014, so that when I do this, I'll be able to recognize what row I'm in, so I can apply the formulas from my magic theorem and get my formula falling out into my lap. So I'm going to open a spreadsheet, and in column A, let's say row one, I'm going to start with row 1 and go down to 15 and put the numbers 0 to 14 in there. And I don't particularly care what spreadsheet, and I don't care how you do it. Okay, you're probably done. The next column over, I want to put in column B, 1 through 15, I want to put all 1s. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. You might recognize that as the cumulative total of step 0, where I've just done the one gift on the first day, no gifts after that. The accumulation is pretty easy, there isn't any, and we just put the cumulative totals. In column C, I want to do running sums of the previous column with just the ones. And why do I want to do that? Because that's what I'm essentially doing by having a gift each day. I start with day one, I've got that one gift. On day two, I've got two gifts in the step one scenario in column C. So that's the gift that I had yesterday plus the new gift from today, and that makes two. And then the two gifts I've already received plus the new gift on day three makes three, and so on. And I'm going to talk about two ways to set up this running sum formula, because I've seen this in spreadsheets, and I think people aren't aware of what's happening there. So there's two ways to set this up. You can in column C, where we're setting up this running sum, we can have a sum formula and use the facility in a spreadsheet program to put in an absolute reference at the top of the column, and then put a relative reference that also points to the top of the column. So I'm basically just pulling the value from the top of row B over. I'm just pointing to B1, and this is all in the show notes. You'll be able to see what the formulas say. And then copy that down, and as I copy it to row 2, I'm now summing from 1 to 2, and row 3 is summing from 1 to 3, and so on. Which is fine, it'll work, it'll do a running sum, but what you're doing is a lot more addition operations than you need. Because when you do a running sum that adds the numbers from 1 to 12, and you've got every one of those incremental sums, well, the 12th sum of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 is equal to the sum of the first 11 plus the 12th entry. So what you could do is at the top of that column, C, just make the first formula C1 equal B1. C2 now is equal to C1, the previous value, the previous sum, plus the new value in B2. That you can copy all the way down, and it comes up with the same answer, but as we will see, it has a lot fewer operations, especially as the number of rows gets really big. And because of the way we've constructed this, the next column over is the answer to how many gifts do you get if you just do the partridge on the first day, the two other birds on the second day, I guess there's still birds on the third day, birds on the fourth day, and finally something worthwhile, the 5 gold rings, and so on. That's the next column. And if you do running sums of 1, 2, 3, 4, you get 1, 3, 6, 10, 15, 21, stop me before I kill someone. Okay, those are what they call the triangular numbers. And the reason they call them triangular numbers is if you take 1, 2, 3, 4, and you take blocks and put them next to each other in columns where you've got a single block, then two blocks next to it, and then three high, and then four high, it makes a triangle-looking thing. And that gives you an idea of what those numbers are for, and you can, okay, if I've got n of them, I know that there's this formula they taught me that was n times n plus 1 over 2, and okay, great. I know how large that number is. We'll actually have that formula fall out of what we're doing. So hang on for that, because we won't have to do much deriving. We'll just have to assume that the binomial theorem is true and just pull out the corresponding one formula that we want and say, there, that's my answer. So if you stay tuned, we'll have that. Now step 3, where the person made a mistake and confuses the rundown for their shopping list for the day, they're giving one gift on day 1, which is fine, but instead of giving 2 gifts on day 2, they give 3 gifts on day 2 because of the rundown. So now they've given 4 in all, and then on the next day, they give the 3 gifts plus the 2 plus the 1, and they've already given 4, so now they're up to 10, and these are what they call they're the tetrahedral numbers.
If you want to understand why they call them tetrahedral numbers, just imagine having 5 sets of billiard balls numbered 1 to 15. And the first set you'll put in a rack with the familiar arrangement with 1 on top, then 2 in the second row, then 3 and 4 and 5. And then you'll see that in the spaces between every set of 3 balls, there'll be a space where you could pile 1 ball on top of that. And it so happens that if you've got the traditional rack of billiard balls with the rows 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you can actually put in the spaces between those a second tier of balls that are arranged in 4 rows, 10 in all, 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is the triangular number just below 15, which is the sum of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. On top of that, you could put 1, 2,
3 in order, and that would give you 6, which is the triangular number below that, and then 1, 2, 3 would fit in the spaces between those, and then 1 on top, and you'd have a tower that has 3 sides and a triangular base, and that is a tetrahedron. And there's a really nice picture that they made of a tetrahedron with a small number of marbles arranged in just this sort of way on the Math is Fun website. And it's just kind of cool. You can probably win at Trivial Pursuit if you know this. Very cool. So let's move on. Now, to see pictures of this, really cool pictures, you should go to the extremely nerdy site called www.mathisfun.com, and if you go to the article on Pascal's triangle, which is pointed to in the show notes, you'll see nice illustrations of not only the triangle numbers, but the tetrahedral numbers. They've got links to that. And you'll see the general shape of this triangle, which is also explaining how this is leading us to answers. What we've done is taken the classical Pascal's triangle that you learned in algebra and promptly forgot. You can be forgiven for that. We've just turned it sideways so that the diagonals are going down our columns. The rows are actually diagonals in the spreadsheet. So if you take you load up the spreadsheet in your on your computer and then twist your monitor around, rotate it about 60 degrees, you'll see that it looks kind of like the array that's in the Pascal's triangle article. Now, if you're monitors on a stand or anchored to your desk, don't do that because you could be damaging your furniture and so on. But that's sort of what we're doing and how it looks. Okay, so we've got the idea that we can just do these totals for any n days of Christmas by looking at the bottom, the 12th row in that spreadsheet that gives the answer, so that for the step 0, which is the one gift and no more, we can read the number 1 off that row. It would be 12th in the array. I think it would be technically row 11. And then right next to that is 12 in diagonal 1, and that's the number you get if you give one a day. If you do the 1, 2, 3, and so on, the sum of those is 78 from the spreadsheet, and doing this running sum maneuver on that column, I get 364 gifts if I'm doing the 12 something or others, 11 pipers piping, 10 blah blah blah, and so on. If I do that countdown every day and give all those gifts over and over again, I get 364 gifts, which is pretty steep. But that's how many are named. So you've got a way to get to this by brute force because we've got the spreadsheet and a general way of doing it. Now it's time for the magical part. And because I'm playing with Pascal's triangle, I can essentially just write down formulas for the total number of gifts after n days for n days of Christmas. For step 0, it's pretty easy. We have one gift. But technically, this is something like n minus 1 choose 0, which is a binomial coefficient. You can find this function that's the number of ways you can choose a certain number of items from a larger number of distinct objects, independent of order, so that A, B, C, and C, B, A are the same as long as A and B and C are all in there. Those would be the same combination. It's just a matter of if you're choosing from A through L, which is 12 objects, then A, B, C would be one possibility of choosing 3 objects. But in this case, it's how many ways can I choose 0 from any number of objects, and that would be 1. Nice that it fits a pattern, but who cares? Step 1 is a little bit more important because that shows us how we're getting to this, and that's n gifts is the total after n days because we got 1 a day. But if we lift the formula out of Pascal's triangle by noticing the correspondence to the binomial theorem, it would actually be N choose 1, which is that big parentheses thing with the number N over the number 1, physically over it, but not a fraction. It's a it's actually a binomial coefficient. And you can compute that with the Combin function in, say, Gnumeric. I think it's also in a certain proprietary spreadsheet product as well, but it fails for large numbers, where Combin in Gnumeric actually works better. And to show you an example, if you do equals Combin 12 comma 1, you get 12, which is correct. Okay, step 2 is that 1, 2, 3 thing, and we suspect that we're going to get n plus 1 over 2, because that's what we were told. You know, we either were told that and we remembered it, or we remembered that trick of taking the numbers 1 to 10 and then lining up the numbers in reverse order and then pairing them up so that 11, you know, 1 and 10 is 11, 2 and 9 is 11, and so on. We got 10 of these pairs, so it's the pairs together add up to 110, but since we had everything twice, it's 11 times 10 over 2, or 55. But in this case, we're just taking it off the binomial theorem. So we have, because we're lining things up in that Pascal triangle on a different diagonal, we've actually shifted down a row to do this second level of accumulation. We're not just doing the counting numbers now, we're doing the running sums of the counting numbers. So now the answer is n plus 1 choose 2 for the sum of the series. And that's n plus 1 times n over 2 times 1. Now, for me, to remember how to do these combination things, what I usually do is think of them in terms of, well, the math people call them factorial products, but I'm going to call them countdown products, because that's sometimes easier for people to remember. And if I've got n plus 1 choose 2, or Combin n plus 1 comma 2, that's a fraction where both the top and bottom, upstairs and downstairs, are defined using a two-term countdown product starting at the numbers in order in the arguments. So in the case of Combin n plus 1 comma 2, it's the two-term countdown product starting at n plus 1, which is n plus 1 times n plus 1 minus 1, which is n, and then the two-term countdown product starting at 2, which is 2 times 1, or 2. So that gives us back our traditional formula. When n equals 12, that's 13 times 12 over 2, which is 13 times 6, or 78. Now you can always count on this kind of canceling to happen in this kind of formula, especially with the smaller denominator, because when you have two consecutive numbers, one of them's got to be even. So this one's going to work out. And the next one will work out because it's going to involve a 3 factorial, or a threefold countdown product in the denominator. But I'll get to that in just a second. Okay, as an aside, there's an additional thing we can conclude out of this, and that is we can actually count now the number of adds for the naive running sum with 12 terms. The naive sum will just be pulling the value for the first term, so that's no additions. There could be some fetches in there and so on, but I'm going to assume that you can do all those at the same speed. Even if that's not quite true, I'm going to say that the adds are the expensive thing. So zero adds for just pulling the first number. The first running sum is the first number plus the second, so that's one addition. It's two numbers, but it's one operation. So I'm adding 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, down to 11, because I, in the first position of the 12, I have 0. So for me to go 0 to a count of 12 items, I'm going to count from the cocktail party, and I'm going to have 11, because the cocktail party's at minus 1. So 0 to 11, I just plug this into my formula. It gives me, instead of Combin 13.2 because of the n plus 1 thing, this n plus 1 is actually at 12. So the number of operations is 66. Now, if we actually look at our spreadsheet and we look at the step 2 column on day 11, we can actually see that the brute force number in there is 66. So we're on the right track. Now, as the number of rows gets bigger, this n times n plus 1 over 2 is going to get pretty close to n squared over 2, add operations. And people refer to this as big O of n squared. The running sum over a column by adding everything up by total brute force with the zero additions, the one addition, and so on, that is called big O of n squared. That's the number of adds, which means that the number of add operations is proportional to n squared and not proportional to n. Now, if I use my recursive thinking formula, where I just say, okay, the sum of n objects is the sum of n minus 1 plus the nth, then I'm only doing one add per row for those 11 rows, and I'm just doing no adds when I copy the first element. So I've got n minus 1, or big O of n, operations doing it that way. So if I were to, let me just go to my spreadsheet, which has a page that compares these things. So if I've got, say, 10 rows, I'm not really going to notice the difference in a recalc on a spreadsheet, because the number of adds in this running sum, you know, the sum of the addition operations, is going to be like 45. And if I use my recursive thinking form, where I add each new row to the last sum that I computed, I'm only going to have 9 adds in 10 rows. So on a computer, that's not going to make much of a difference. If I have 100 rows, that number of adds jumps up to almost 5,000, whereas the adds in the recursive thinking approach, where I'm just adding the new row to the old sum, that's going to be 99, or about 100. Now, that when you get to 1,000, then you're talking about 500,000. If you get 10,000, that's almost 50 million. And 100,000 rows, that's 505 billion adds, as compared to 100,000 adds doing things in the recursive thinking mode. So if there's one thing that you remember from this episode, besides of course, two things you should learn from the whole series. One is count from the cocktail party, not from the keynote. And the second is this: if I'm doing a running sum that's stored next to a big block of data, I want to think recursively. I'll just say it again: I want to think recursively. I don't want to copy a formula where I am adding every number over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I said it that many times because if you've got an operation that's n squared, you're going to be saying that and over a lot of times when you've got 100,000 rows. If you insist on doing it that way, I hope you never get above 1,000 rows of data, or you will be old before your spreadsheets recalculate. Okay. Let's see. I think I've covered almost everything that I want to talk about. The final point, I wanted to pass along a homework question. In the previous episode, I asked, what if there were 72 days of Christmas? And my question then was, when will it end? Well, that was pretty easy. We knocked that down by making it easier. Here's the question now: how many gifts would be given in total for steps 0, 1, 2, and 3? If there were 72 days of Christmas. Now, if you were following along, you'd either have the spreadsheet, do some copies, and you're done, or you'd know the magic formula, you could plug in some numbers, and you'd be able to get the answer. So if you've really followed what's been happening in this episode, you'll be able to do that calculation. What I can't guarantee is that you'll find someone who cares that you can answer a weird question like that. I can guarantee that there will be a lot of people who look at you funny if you do actually start posing that question to them. Okay, well, I hope everyone has a happy holiday season, and we'll see you at the New Year's Eve show. My contact information, I'm Charles in New Jersey. My email is catintp@yahoo.com. And I'm not going to spell it phonetically because I get such a load of grief from the admin. Thanks, Ken, for doing the editing. And we'll see you soon. I hope to listen to your podcast on Hacker Public Radio. Thanks a lot.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.